Good morning. It's good to be with you again today on this beautiful Sunday to have our children sing and choir do such a great job. Boy, we got you packed in there, don't we, today? That's great. That's what I like to see. Now, if we can just get everybody packed in out here, we'll have it right. We'll have it right. You know, I love the song you just sang. There is hope in the knowledge of Him. I love this passage of Scripture that we just heard read. It's one of three passages that are pretty interesting because they are passages where the disciples who knew Jesus so well did not recognize Him. Now, Paul tells us that, you know, we're born in a corruptible body and we're raised to an incorruptible, that in the resurrection we will have a resurrected body. You know, I'm hoping for a much taller, more muscular body in the resurrection. You know, I guess we'll all be beautiful people in the resurrection. But apparently there was something unusual about this resurrected Jesus. We talked a little about it at sunrise service. Earlier in the Gospel of John, we find that, you know, Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping because the body of our Lord was not there. And supposing Jesus to be a gardener, she says, "Where have you taken my Lord? Where have you laid His body?" And then He spoke her name and said, "Mary." And she knew it was Jesus. She didn't recognize Him to look at Him. She didn't recognize the sound of His voice. You know, maybe we have a new voice in our resurrected bodies. But it was something about the way He said her name and her relationship with the Lord that she knew it was Jesus. We have the passage in the Gospel of Luke where two disciples are walking a few miles from Jerusalem to a town called Emmaus. And in their walk, they're discussing what has happened in Jerusalem the last few days. They're talking about the death and crucifixion of Jesus, His body being missing from the tomb. They're discussing the meaning of the Messiah and the coming of the Messiah, and Jesus has joined them in this journey, and they didn't recognize who it was. They're just walking along, discussing all of these things, and Jesus is engaged in conversation with them, but they don't recognize their Lord and Savior. They get to the little town of Emmaus. It's late in the day. And so out of courtesy, they ask this stranger to join them in the house where they were going. And they went in. They sat down to eat. And in the moment, He picked up the bread and broke it. They knew it was their Lord. And now we see the disciples. Just as the angel had told them, they went to Galilee to wait for the Lord. They got a little frustrated. They got a little bit anxious. And they went back to doing what they were used to. They went back to fishing. It was Peter, of course, who led them. He probably got tired and antsy of sitting around and waiting around. He had to do something. So what do? You go back to what you've done all your life. He had only been a disciple for 3 years, or maybe less. He had been a fisherman ever since he was a boy. And he says, "Guys, I'm going fishing," just like our children sang about. "I'm going fishing." And they all piled in the boat and they went out. They took off their robes and stripped down for work, and they worked all night and didn't catch a thing. Sounds like my fishing trips. You know, maybe I need to go with Fred. I heard he caught a whopper. But every time I go fishing, I don't catch anything. I'm just like the disciples that night. I don't care where I cast my line. You know, I hit water, but there doesn't seem to be anything under the water. Unless it's a root or a branch that wants to snag my line. That's the kind of night they were having. Couldn't bring in a thing. work so hard. Have you ever tried fishing with a net? Have you ever even just used a net for catching bait? You know, one of these circular nets. The real art of putting part of it in your mouth and grabbing part of it over here and part of it here and holding the line. And remember to let go of everything except the line. Make sure you let go of the teeth part. And that thing flare out in a beautiful circle and fall over the menace. And they had these big nets that they were lugging into the boat and then letting out of the boat and lugging in all night long. They were so tired. And at dawn, those of you here, Easter, sunrise morning, we got started a little early. I relied on the people at the library to tell me when sunrise was, and they were off about a half hour. But they went from that darkness into that kind of glow where it wasn't really daylight, but you could start seeing things. And as the light got higher in the sky, they drew near to shore. They were about 100 yards away. And they saw standing on the shore someone, and it was Jesus. But again, they didn't recognize him. And he cried out, "Friends, have you caught anything?" "No, hadn't caught a thing." "Throw your net on the other side, on the right side of the boat." How enthusiastic do you think these fellows were about throwing that net in one more time? But you know, as they started to do that, John realized, it's the Lord. That kind of command. No one would tell us to do something like that except the Lord. And old Peter got so excited that he put on his robe and jumped into the water and started swimming to shore just to meet Jesus, because they knew it was him. There on the shoreline, Jesus had made a charcoal fire, and he'd stacked some fish around the fire to smoke and to cook, and he had some bread, and he had prepared breakfast for his disciples. But in all three stories, they did not immediately recognize Jesus from his appearance. They didn't immediately recognize Jesus by hearing his voice. They recognized Jesus because he said or did something that struck to the very depth of who they were. You know, there's a passage earlier in the Gospel of John I'd like to share with you from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. He says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." You see, that might have been the thing that tipped off John. He said, "Friends, what did you catch?" And it took a while. It took a while for John to remember. But you know, the Scripture says the Holy Spirit would bring all things to their remembrance. And then he remembered, this man is calling us friend. It must be the Lord. He knows us. He knows us at a depth, and we know him, even though we don't recognize him. Now, it is my belief that maybe the deepest longing of the human spirit and our souls is to be known like that. Jesus and the disciples knew one another in a way that went beyond any other kind of relationship. You know, in the Old Testament, the word to know someone also meant the sexual relationship between a husband and a wife. Well, not just between a husband and wife. One of the reasons we're told not to commit adultery or fornication is because to be in a close sexual relationship is to join ourselves with a person at the deepest level of their souls. And that's reserved for holy marriage. But Jesus came into the world that God might become real to us and we might know God and God know us at that deep, intimate level. Deeper even than the relationship between a loving husband and wife. Deeper than any human relationship. And that was the kind of relationship Jesus had with his disciples. And I think there's a deep longing in our souls to be known like that. To be experienced in that way. To be fully who we are, good and bad, and know that we're not going to be rejected. To know that someone is not going to turn their back on us. That someone is not going to leave us. You know, I think that's one reason that people get married time after time when they have divorces. We're still longing for that depth of relationship. We want it so desperately. We say, well, maybe this person will be the right person for me. I want to be known in a very special way. And Jesus says, I want to know you that way too. I knew my disciples that way. And they knew me that way. That's what he talks about in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. Let me share that with you. It's a beautiful passage. You know, he's trying to comfort his disciples before he leaves. He says, if you love me, if you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you live also. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. We might not be able to recognize him by sight. We might not be able to recognize him by the sound of his voice, but we will know him because there's a deep connection between our Jesus and us. There was a deep connection between Jesus and his disciples. And Mary recognized it in the garden. And John and Peter and the disciples recognized it by the sea in Galilee. And the disciples, when they arrived at Emmaus and Jesus broke the bread, they knew it was the Lord. There's a man that's influenced me quite a lot in my life, in my counseling, in my ministry. And his name is Larry Crabb. He is a Christian psychologist. And a couple of years ago, he went through a midlife crisis. He was complaining that he had never been through one. And you start complaining like that, you get it. And so he had one. And it was a wonderful crisis because it took him to the very depth of his being in his special relationship with God. And this man, who had probably written 14 or more books, most of which I had read, wrote a new book called Connecting. And in his book, he said the deepest longing and the greatest need in the life of the church is for us to connect at that knowing level that the disciples experienced. Not just to connect with God in a personal, private way, because God already has connected with us and we need to connect with Him. But if we really want it to mean something, we've got to find a way to connect with one another on that deep level, because it'll help meet that longing of our souls. And he talked about a man who was his mentor, who was his spiritual director. And they could only meet a couple of times a year, and they always met at a beach because they loved the coast. And somehow his friend always got there first and was waiting for him on the beach. And when Larry would come down the beach and start walking to the meeting place, he would see this friend in the distance. And when the friend saw him, the friend would just jump up and down. Have you ever noticed how kids do that? Little kids, they're so excited. Something they want or somebody they love comes into their presence and they're just jumping up and down. They just can't contain the joy. Imagine two men meeting on the beach, jumping up and down for joy because there's a knowing and a knowledge shared there that transcends everything else on this earth. That's what God wants us to experience as Christians. You know, quite frankly, we haven't done a very good job of that. To be able to open up our lives and to say anything, to admit anything we've done in our lives, and know that we're going to be loved in spite of it by another human being. Not just by God, because God's that good, but to know that God is so good that He can put that same kind of love in you and me. That we can share that same kind of love right here in this fellowship at St. Matthew's United Church. But we're going to have to find ways to go to that depth. We're going to have to find ways to live out the song that there is hope in knowing Him. And if there's hope in knowing Him, there's hope in knowing one another in a better way than we're experiencing right now. If we want the love of God to go out from this church, we're going to have to risk knowing one another on a much deeper level. We're going to have to learn to connect on a much deeper level. We're going to have to find ways to get together and know and be known in a way that can only cause us to shout for joy. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the disciples knew that because they had encountered the living Lord. Do you have that kind of relationship, honestly, with anybody on this earth? That you can share the worst in you, the worst you've ever done, the worst you've ever thought, and know without a doubt, I'm going to be loved and accepted and made better because that kind of love calls that forth in me. That kind of love crushes the ugliness in me, the goodness in me. And I can indeed be a new creature in Christ. That's how the disciples recognized Jesus. That's how we ought to recognize one another. But we're going to have to go beyond what we've ever done before if we're to experience that kind of love. And brothers and sisters in Christ, when we start experiencing that kind of love among us, there are going to be people coming here to find out what we know that others don't know. Do you want to be known? Do you want to know Jesus and know someone else and be known in the most beautiful way that can ever be experienced? Jesus calls us into that kind of relationship. We don't have to recognize Him by sight or by voice. We know that we're in His presence. Let us pray. Gracious Father, It's a mystery to us that you would love us so much that you would offer us a Savior that would tell us that we can rest secure in the fact that you know everything about us and love us anyway. And not only that you can share that kind of love within the community of faith so we can love each other that way. Lord, that's a little hard to believe. It's hard to believe that we could hear and experience and accept anything somebody brings to us and still look at one another only in the wonderful potential that you can see us. And that we can see that in one another. And if we can see it in one another, we can call it forth and we can be bigger and better people. We can live up to what you call us to be. We can reach out the way you want us to reach out. Because we have been known in such an intimate way. And we know how much we are loved and accepted. In that security, help us to be brave and bold in embracing the faith and finding new ways in the life of your church to know one another as Christ knows us, as the disciples knew him, and as we can know one another. Work this through the power of your Spirit, Holy Father. Amen.